That's what I discovered. It's only taken me 31 years to figure that out. But I'd say probably some of y'all figured that out about yourself too. That without Him, we can do nothing. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way. Well, I'm going to do my best tonight to try to encourage you a little. Let's look at St. John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8. Verse 1, you have that, say amen. The Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came down unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now King James scholars added that there, but that sounds real good to me. I like that. When you see italicized there, that means the King James scholars added that to bring clarity to the text. And so in the original Greek, that would have only said, but Jesus stooped down and with finger wrote on ground. But the King James scholars brought some clarity to the text and said, as though he heard them not. We need to master that art. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you for the awesome privilege to be able to preach your word to these precious people tonight. That's your children are congregated to be stirred by your word, Father. We would take heed to it and we would apply it to our lives. I pray that you would anoint these old lips of clay, and that I'd say nothing more, nothing less than what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. And Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. All right, you may be seated. Amen. Tonight's a good night. I mean, it's a good night. Good night for a lot of things. Now, I like this text. I like all of it. It's just, and there's so much preaching here that I could probably preach the next 6 months just out of these 12 verses. Probably preach that long just out of verse 12. I'm certain of that. But we're going to try to hold you no longer than 3 hours tonight. And if I go over 3 hours and you feel like leaving and going home, don't. If I'm preaching 3 hours, I'm hooked up. I'm hooked up to something. You stay around regardless. We'll stick to the end. Now, verse 3 through 5, oh, I better give you my title tonight. I want to preach on when God gets his hands dirty. Is what I'm wanting to preach on, if you all will be all right with that. The Bible said he stooped down, verse 8, and wrote on the ground. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, when God gets his hands dirty. Now, verse 3 through 5, the Bible said, And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. They had set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Now, Jesus was teaching the people. He's ministering when this angry Jewish mob approaches him. And they're pushing and they're kicking and they're screaming at this little lady. They're beating her they're tough guys. They're manhandling this little woman as they kick her down the street. And they threw her at the feet of Jesus. That's all right. You kick me, just as long as you kick me over to him, he'll take care of the rest. And so, I find it amazing. You ever heard the old saying, they kick you when you're down? You ever heard that? Anybody ever been kicked when you're down? You ever kick yourself when you're down? I've done that a few times. But the devil likes to kick you when you're down. He kick you and get you down and kick you when you're down. And then your buddies will come along and kick you some more. Talk about you for being down. I tell you what, if you was, you don't know nothing, shut up. Amen. You don't know nothing about where I've been, what I've been going through. Don't kick me down. But sometimes the devil brings you right to where God wants you. He thinks he's really doing something. But when it's all said and done, it's just you and Jesus. And that's not a bad place to be. Now this woman had been caught. I mean, she got caught red-handed, her hand in the cookie jar, you know. And there wasn't no line out of it. There wasn't no way to get away from this. She got caught. And she messed up real bad. Now she's going to pay the ultimate price. They caught her. And she needed to be caught. She committed adultery. She needed caught. She needed stoned. She needed to die. According to the law, according to the laws of God, this woman was in trouble. And she was committing adultery and it needed to be stopped. She was laying with somebody's husband or maybe, cheating on her own man. I don't know the whole story about it all, but I know she needed to be stopped and they called her. So I'm not trying to pretend that. She needed stopped. And for a moment, I felt sorry for this lady. And perhaps in some strange way, I still do, but then I put myself in her husband's shoes. I wasn't sorry for her no more. Y'all out there tonight, I'll just preach by myself if I have to. I've done it before. I'd rather preach to y'all tonight. I'd rather preach to Brother Harrison shouting amen is what I'd rather do. Now this woman and the wicked man she's laying with, they're breaking up a marriage. You realize that? And possibly breaking up two marriages. And this is probably some children involved. Now we're going to have some children got a mama laying out in the street, stoned to death, bloodied, mauled to death. And you got this man stoned to death by the court, the high court there, the Sanhedrin, or whoever it was at the time. And you got a wife and children, and now you got a husband and children. What are we going to do now? Mama's dead. What a reproach on the family. What a reproach on the family. And so they throw this woman at the feet of Jesus. She lay in the dirt. She's soiled. She's unclean. And she's broken. She's broken. Her hair was no doubt disheveled. It was matted together. Her face was darkened with the dust. Her knees and elbows were bloodied from being repeatedly cast down to the ground. And this woman was scared. She's going to die today. She knows she's going to die today. And she's not only going to die, but she's going to die as an adulteress. And she was trembling as she lay there in the ground. She's going to die today. Her fate was going to be a cruel and traumatic one. The men that brought her to Jesus had already picked up their stones. And they were ready to kill this lady. She's in the execution chamber. She had the death sentence already passed. There's no need for a jury. They called her in the act. And now she's going to die right here in front of Jesus. Sometimes the devil brings you right to where God wants you. The enemy pushed her. The enemy threw her. They screamed and chanted at her dolefully, but all the way to the feet of Christ.
I don't know about y'all, but it may not do nothing for you, but it does something for me. That may did something for me. Threw it right down at his feet. And they thought that they was going to get, you know, something over on Jesus. Now, in my mind's eye, I can see her laying on the ground with her head slumped, buried in her bare arm there, weeping and crying like a baby, probably. And there's a lot of things that can put you into that shape. Did you know that? A lot of things can put you in that position. And it's not always sin. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's a death in your family. Sometimes it's a combination of a lot of things. The old saying is, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes it's when your stove tears up. Sometimes it's when a big check bounces. And sometimes it's not your check. It's the guy that was writing it to you, and you thought you was going for the big money. And it just bounced right on you, and you found yourself at square one. Amen. Man, I like that, Brother L.D. Moore. I like that. I liked what he said. Sometimes the devil beat me up so bad, tore me up, talked about me, kicked me down so bad, I had to pray. I mean, I wept and cried for a minute, however long it was, 30 seconds. I mean, he got me so tore up, I had to pray for a whole 30 seconds to get over it. But the truth of it is, sometimes life does get you down. And sometimes you bury your face in the ground. And sometimes you don't know what you're going to do. You see, life plays hard. And as Brother Razor said this morning, I've said it often, life doesn't play fair. You just get what you get. And then you got to do what you got to do to get by. Now, the death of a family member, that can throw you off. Do you know that? That can put you down. When a child turns away from the Lord, that can put you down. When you got a husband walks out on you, that can cast you down. That can put you in a bad situation. When you got family that talks about you and ridicules you and doesn't love you like they should, that'll put you down. When you got a marriage that's not the best and you know things aren't going real good in the home, that'll put you down on the ground, saints of God. I mean, you ain't sinned, ain't done a thing, but you got a man, you got a woman that don't care anything about you hardly, and that'll put you down a lot of time. Our friends turn their back on you, and then you got the devil talking in your ear and telling you nobody cares, nobody loves you, look at you, you done this, you done that, remember what you said, remember what you did, remember what happened back there, and nobody loves you, and everybody hates you, and even if you left, they wouldn't care, they wouldn't even call you. Well, the devil is a liar tonight. But the devil going to do anything he can to get you on the ground. And financial issues, sometimes they'll put you on the ground. I'll tell you something else that can get you. Is being young, being stuck, being 15, and torn between two worlds, not knowing which way you're heading. That can put you on the ground. I remember being 15, 16, 17. I remember hitting 18, got saved. I remember having no friends. And I was trying to serve the Lord, but yet I was trying to look for things, you know, had nobody to go to church with me. But Jesus went to church with me every time. Amen. Hey, you know, I like that one man I was listening to him preach. He told his wife, said, "Baby, I'm going out and I'm going to church tonight." He's getting older, Brother Jason. And she said, "Honey, don't go to church tonight. I can't go, and you're going to go by yourself." He said, "I ain't going by myself." He said, "I got three going with me tonight." Amen. Now, normally we'd say, "I got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost." But he said, "Surely goodness and mercy is going to church with me tonight." Amen. I got three going with me everywhere I go. But sometimes the enemy will put us on the ground. Growing old. That can probably... You know, sometimes I come in here and I sense that the enemy talks to some of you older folk. And your hearing's going out, your sight's going out, and things don't work like they used to work. And sometimes I can see that old spirit talking to you saying, "You're going down. You're going to die. You're going to get down so bad." And he'll really tell that wife that or that husband that about the other one. Yeah, tear y'all to pieces. You can handle it a little better when it's you, but when it's her or when it's him, that makes it tough. And the enemy's looking for a way tonight to put you in the dirt. You hear me? I said the enemy's looking for a way tonight to put you down. And he's doing a pretty good job with some of us. Hearing the enemy tell you for 6 months, you're going to die of a heart attack. You ain't going to get to preach. You better preach all you can. You're going to die tonight. You're going to leave that wife a widow and all them kids fatherless. Now you got a son on the way. That'll put you in the dirt sometimes. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're still weeping and crying, saying, I don't want to sleep. I'm afraid I won't wake up in the morning. That'll put you in the dirt sometimes. Amen. Having your wife sick for weeks at a time, that'll knock you down. And I'll tell you what I've noticed when tragedy strikes, you got to handle it appropriately, because if the tragedy doesn't knock you down, the aftermath will. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Let me explain myself. You make it through the storm, but it sucks so much life out of you, you can't hardly pray, and you can't hardly read, and you can't hardly fast, and you made it through the trial, but the aftermath takes out. I've seen it happen so many times I couldn't count, Brother Johnson. I've seen people come through the worst trials you ever thought. I never think that they never get through that. They make it through, and the sun shines, and they quit God. And folks say, how did that happen? Well, because the storm took it all out of them, and they didn't get back to Jesus like they needed to. Amen. I've seen it over and over and over. Different ones go through terrible ordeals. They survive that. But in the end, their faith was demolished. Their strength was depleted. And they quit praying. They quit seeking the face of God. And the ordeal didn't knock them down. But prayerlessness and doubt got the best of them in the end. It doesn't really matter, saints of God, while you're on the ground tonight. I'm not really here to pick and choose and say you're on the ground for this reason. The question is, are you there? And then I want to preach to you a little while, because I don't think it really matters whether it's life, whether it's Satan, whether it's sin, or whether it's a combination of all of these together. I think the most important thing is that you understand where you're at, and that you understand that it's at the feet of Jesus that you came to tonight. I don't know why you're in the dirt tonight, but I can tell you there's one here at God's Miracle Mission that before this night's over, He may just very well pick you up and dust you off and set you on your way tonight. John 8:3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. One of the greatest follies that we could allow ourselves to fall into is only seeing the angry mob and only seeing the woman in this situation. We see the scene unfold, and oftentimes we see the stones, and we see this cursing, and we see the men with anger and hatred. We see this broken lady on the ground, but they brought her unto Him. That's the beauty of the service tonight, that He is in the midst here tonight. But let me ask you a question. What good will it do for you if Jesus is here, if you never lift your eyes and you never look up to behold Him? He could be here all night long, and you come through your service and you leave the service, and you can pop your gum while I preach, and you can read the Bible, and you can read your songbooks while I preach, and you can think about Walmart while I preach. And amen, when it's all said and done, and your spirit, and you're powerless, and you're going to blame me, you're going to blame the church, and the only person you can blame is yourself, you need to lift your eyes unto Jesus tonight. Amen. All some of you see is the dirt. All some of you see is the mob. You see the stones. But by the grace and mercy of God tonight, there's another standing in the fiery furnace who's walking around in the flames with you. Some are like those disciples on the way to Emmaus. They're walking and talking with Jesus, but all they see is death. All they see is crucifixion. All they see is a cross. All they see is loneliness. All they see is despair. All they see is trouble. All they see is hopelessness. All they see is sorrow. All they know is they're down and they can't get up. And I pray tonight that your eyes would be opened and your heart would burn within you, and that you would realize that in this house, though you may be down, you're not out. And there's one here tonight that's well able to take care of your problem tonight. And some are crying at the end of the day, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Maybe there's one here tonight that'll say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I don't care if I gotta fight you all night long. I'll fight myself. I'll fight the devil. But I'm not letting go until I leave here tonight with a limp and a new name. Amen. I said leave here tonight with a limp and a new name. Acts or John 8 and 6. This they said, tempting him. That's funny. That they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. This picture is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. These men, this council, cried aloud. They demanded, the law states, stone this lady to death. They tempted him. They asked him what they thought, what he thought they should do. And they wanted to entrap him. Wasn't really about her the whole time. It was about him. But Jesus is too wise for mortal men. Did you know that tonight? I said Jesus is too wise for mortal men. You gotta understand Christ's predicament here. It's a predicament. He couldn't dispute their accusation because to do so would be to strive against the law of Moses. He could not agree with the men because that would bring a tainted image upon his mercy. And he couldn't disregard her sins because that would taint the justice of God. And so what did he do? He said nothing. He stooped down and he began to write in the dirt. Now many men have preoccupied themselves and have conjectured on what he wrote, but I'll be honest tonight, I've read the text over and over and I just can't find Sister Janita what he wrote. I don't know, you know, some will say, well, I've heard him preach he wrote the 23rd Psalm. That'd be a good thing to write, wouldn't it? I heard one knucklehead say he wrote Amazing Grace. Hadn't been written, you know, yet and 2,000 years later, but I mean, they might have wrote Amazing Grace. I don't know, you don't know either. And I wish I did know, but I don't know what he wrote. One Jewish legend, you've heard me say it before. The Jewish legend that he wrote adultery and he looked up at one. He dropped the stone and walked away. He wrote fornication. Looked at one, he dropped the stone and walked away. The Jewish legend said he'd write murder and looked at one and his heart was pierced because he was that man. He dropped the stone and walked away. Thief and look at one. He dropped the stone and just laid it out all across the line. And one by one they dropped the stone. And that sounds real good, don't it? But I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2 and 8 that Jesus was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, as we look at this unfold here, you know, I have to be honest, I can't tell you what he wrote, but I can tell you tonight why he wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. I don't have any idea how many times, you know, he wrote what he said. And so I've read this text over and over and over again. And I tell you what I've come to the conclusion of. This was a beautiful picture of Christ's divinity coming down in his humanity and walking among men. You see, Jesus stooped down and he got his hands dirty. And I'd like to preach tonight when God gets his hands dirty. I mean, Jesus was sitting at the throne of God on the right hand of God the Father. And he took his crown off. And he took his robe off. And he became a man, a proper man. Just like you and me. Why did he do that? So he could run his hand through your life tonight. So he could come down when you're in the dirt. When you're down low and you can't get up. Jesus came by so God could get his hands dirty in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. He humbled himself. The word humble means to bring low. Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken.
For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Talking about you and me. Dirt. Dirt. A bag of dirt with the breath of God in us. That's all you are. I know you thought you were something. I mean, you're just a bag of dirt with the breath of God in you. That's all you are. Dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, when Jesus left the throne of glory, He stooped down to touch lost humanity. You know, we ought to probably be shouting right now. Sometimes I don't understand the church anymore. I preach my everlasting guts out and bring. And I was just reading this. I about shouted in my office just preaching to myself. You know what I'm saying, Brother Corey? I was thinking about this passage right here. Here I am. You know, it's this earthly man. This man trying to make it from one day to the next. And I've got this God that lives inside of me. And that's altogether just another shout right there. And knowing that Jesus would lead the throne of glory, and He would stoop down to touch lost humanity. And He would stoop down to run His fingers through the mire and muck of sin where lost men and women were hiding. To think that He would look down at God's miracle mission at some of you doubters in the house, and He doesn't throw you away, but He runs His hand through the clay one more time. Some of those here tonight that are having a hard time staying up, and you say, God, I messed up again, but God will get His hands dirty in this service tonight. Amen. He stooped down and He touched a blind man at the pool of Siloam. I mean, He stooped down, spat on the ground, made clay out of the spittle, anointed His eyes, and He said, I see. Deaf man had an impediment in his speech. Jesus put His fingers in His ears. I don't know if I mean, it was bad. I spit right in His face. And you say, oh, not if you was blind. Not if you was deaf. Not if you had a speech impediment. And all of a sudden, and you heard everything, you wouldn't be with, you say, spit on me somewhere else, Jesus. Spit over here. I got a little ache on my back. Spit right here, Jesus. Spit on my ankle. You be saying, spit all over. You know something? When God gets in the house, it might be strange. It may not look like you think it ought to look. But if I come in here talking right, and I come in here seeing right, I don't care what you do, Jesus. Any way you fix it, it's all right with me tonight. Bible tells us that Jesus looked up into heaven and He sighed. I mean, what's wrong with these people? He got His fingers in His ears. You know what He did? He took His finger, stuck it on His tongue, said, stick your tongue out. Amen. Everybody said, what's this crazy guy doing? They wasn't saying that here in just a little bit. They didn't say, they wasn't saying He's crazy when Jesus said, Ephatha, be thou open. Amen. Some of y'all need Jesus to stick His fingers in your ears tonight. That's what I'm talking about. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus. I'm just going to preach tonight. You know, I'm going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to give an altar call. I'm going to go home. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I got my plans for tonight. Jesus! Thou Son of David! Have mercy on me! Is that Jesus? They can't see nothing. Everybody close your eyes. Real tight. That's blind Bartimaeus. Jesus! Thou Son of David! He listening, you know. He's got his ears. And then they said, shut up, Bartimaeus. We're trying to hear Jesus. We're trying to hear teaching. You get desperate enough, Brother Jason, you don't care who's trying to listen to what. You get up and run around, Brother Lamb, preaching or not. Jesus, thou Son of David. And Jesus stopped and run His hands through the dirt. Amen. Bible said, as a little woman, 12 years,
She's bowed. Oh, she touched your chair. It's unclean. She touched your utensils. It's unclean. She's got an issue of blood for 12 long years. Now, Jesus didn't stop for her. He just kept on moving. But she said, if you won't stop for me, I'm going to get a hold of you, Jesus. I'm going to touch you. And you know what happened? She touched, and the Bible said, oh, that he felt the glory of God virtue. You know what happened? God got his hands dirty again. And a little woman, she was shocked because she knew instantly that her blood that was flowing continuously had just been dried up because God got his hands dirty. Then we read about that band of 10 lepers. Now that would have been a funny, very disgusting but funny sight. They got everything wrapped up. Ears missing, fingers missing, toes missing, they stink. Stink. You talking about stink. They be stinking. They couldn't come down, upwind from you. They had to stay like 75 feet away from anybody. They had to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. Here stands 10 of these old baggedy, raggedy looking lepers. Jesus said, what can I do for you that we be made clean? He said, be thou clean. Got his hands dirty again. And they all took off. And one of them said, hold on here now. I've been a leper for a long time. And something just happened to me. All this leprosy's gone. And it turned back and the Bible said it glorified Jesus. And Jesus just smiled and run his hands to the dirt again. And said, be thou whole. And fingers grew back. And toes grew back. And his hair grew back. And amen, amen. When he got to the temple, he was still waiting on them other 9 because they were still limping. But Jesus had got his hands dirty because he found a worshiper. Amen. I said he found a worshiper. And he's looking for some worshipers in the house. And it'll help you if you got some problem. If you got a need. If you got an issue. Will you cry to me tonight? Jesus, the son of David. God will get his hands dirty in this service tonight. The lame, the blind, the deaf. Solomon's porch. Oh, you wouldn't have wanted to went down there. That wouldn't have been a good ministry, Brother Jason. The insane. They had everything down there. You know, but I just see Jesus. He just walks through and he runs his hands through Solomon's porch. Leprosy didn't jump on him. No, no, no. Blindness didn't jump on him. But when Jesus runs his hands through the dirt, something's always going to happen. I said something's always going to happen. And I tell you, there was one particular man there. He'd been there for 38 years. 38 years trying to get to the pool. But Jesus said, don't worry about the angels, buddy. Don't worry about the water, buddy. He said, all you need to worry about is my hand. All you need to worry about is my hand. And God got his hands dirty. And then there was that prostitute. I've been working in the red light district. She was wicked. Had 7 devils. But when Jesus run his hands through Mary Magdalene's life, she fell in love with him. And it was heard that Jesus said, who much is forgiven, loveth much. Amen. I'll be honest with you. About 13 years ago, I had God get his hands dirty in my life. And he washed away a lot of sin, a lot of bad things. And I love him a whole lot because of what he did for me. Amen. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Legalist, if you ever seen one. He was killing them left and right. Bible said he was hailing them out of their houses, kicking their doors in. And he was going in and dragging them out. Had papers. You imprison every one of them. You kill every one of them. And so much, His reputation had spread everywhere. And everyone feared Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was headed for greatness no matter which side he took. But on his way on a Damascus road, Jesus run his hand through the dirty life of Saul of Tarsus. And what we got was 14 epistles and an apostle of God. Amen. There's no telling what God will do with some of you here if you'll just look up and see who's standing with you. I know you're in the dirt, but so is Jesus. His hand running through your life, it'll change you forever. I need to hurry. Can you remember the night that he ran his fingers through the dirt of your life? Can you remember? You better remember, son. I remember the night that he stooped down to touch you. Some of you can remember a time in your life, even since you've been saved, that you felt the fingers of the Master writing something upon your heart. I feel him writing upon my heart tonight, just to be honest with you. You know, it's just the mercies of God. Maybe he did write something on the ground. He might have wrote, "I love you." Amen. After all, she was at his feet. She might have been the only one that got a look at what he wrote. I might ask her when I get to heaven. He might have wrote, "I love you." What do you think? Could have been. "I love you." Could have been. I'd like to see him write upon your heart tonight. You know what I'd like to see him write upon your heart? "I'm still here." I'd like to see him write upon some of your hearts, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth." I would like to see him write Matthew 11:28-30 on some of your hearts. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest, rest under your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." Wouldn't it be nice if he wrote that upon your heart tonight? Wouldn't it be nice if he wrote upon your heart, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Wouldn't it be good tonight if Jesus, he wrote John 14:1 in your heart, which said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Here in the dust lie a broken, messed up woman, wondering what her fate would be, wondering how she could allow herself to get in such a mess that the fingers that were writing up on the physical dirt were getting ready to write in her heart. And I would like to see him write in your heart tonight. I need to quit. Amen. There's another reason that Jesus wrote, stooped down to write in the dirt. This has been one of the most profound things God's ever shown me. Why did he stoop down? Because she couldn't get up. You may say it again? Would you like me to repeat that? He had to stoop down because she couldn't get up. Have you ever been down and you couldn't get up? Don't you lie to me. Some of you there tonight. I mean, you're not backslid. But you've been down for a long time. Some of you come in here and put on your little religious face. You come in here and look like everything's all right inside. You're being eaten at like a canker, like a cancer, just eating you away. And it's been eating at you for months and months and months. And you've had this problem and that problem. And you stay up all night worrying, and some of you cry. And sometimes you do good for a little while, and then it all happens again. Don't you try to lie to me. There's been times that David Lamb has been in the dirt, and I could not get up. I prayed, I fasted, I sought God, I went to church and I asked for help. I couldn't get up. You don't know what happened. He didn't wait for me to get up. He stooped down to where I was at, and he run his fingers through my life. And then he said, "Now
you can get up, son, and I'll mount it up like eagle's wings. Amen, amen. I'm glad that he stoops down sometimes.
Jesus was stooped over in silence. The angry Jewish mob stood around him, and this woman, they stood around him. They had the rocks in their hands. They were thirsty for her blood. They wanted to see justice carried out. They wanted to see this woman laying upon the ground dead. And you better believe tonight the devil would love to see each and every one of y'all dead. Spiritually depleted. Spiritually bankrupt. Maybe you already are. I don't know. Maybe you already are. Maybe you had to force yourself to come to church tonight. Maybe you had to make yourself come to the house of God tonight. If so, then you're in the right place. Because you got a pastor up here trying to tell you that when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. You got a pastor here telling you tonight that when you're broke, busted, and disgusted, there's a God who loves you so much that he took on the likeness of sinful flesh and he let sinners pierce his hands and feet. Why? Because he wanted to be where you've been. He wanted to know what you're going through. He wanted to come so he could run his hands through your life tonight and to change it all and to give you a new start.
Amen. The Bible said in John 8:7-9, where they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, this is Jesus talking. Same Lord that said, be ye holy for I'm holy. But he knows what to say, and he knows when to say it. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Do you understand the wisdom of that statement? Do you understand the discernment? He saw the hearts of every single one of them. And he knew every single one of them. Every single one of them were just as guilty as this woman laying in the dirt. The only difference was she got caught. And Jesus knew that. And so he said, he that's without sin, let him. He said, go ahead and get the job done. Let those that's without sin cast the first stone. And the Bible said that they being convicted, they watched him right upon the ground again. He stooped down and rolled on the ground again. And they looked at that. And from the greatest to the least, they dropped their rocks. I'd like to see the Lord make the enemy drop his rocks tonight and leave you alone. Just you and Jesus. But get along with him. There's no telling what will happen tonight.
Amen. One by one, the stones thudded to the ground. One by one, rocks dropped from their hands. And men walked away shamefully. By faith tonight, I believe the Lord is going to make some of your enemies drop the rocks. Perhaps he already has for some. But I'm trying to get you to lift your eyes and see that all those things that's been on, oh my God, help us tonight. Some of you, the last glimpse you had, you were surrounded by a multitude with stones in their hands. But Christ has taken care of some of your enemies, and now the enemy is nothing more than a figment of your imagination. But God has already taken care of some of these issues. But you've got your head buried in the sand. You've got your head buried in the ground. And you don't even know. That's all that's left is you and Jesus and the rocks that they brought down to stone you. But if you'd lift up your eyes under the hills, you would see tonight that God is going to give you the victory. Would you lift your hands and give God some glory tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I love you. I thank you, Jesus. I'm just trying tonight. I'm just trying. Now, I have intentionally left out the last phrase of verse 9. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. Let me tell you what it says. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. In the midst of what? In the midst of His presence. In the midst of His love. In the midst of His compassion. In the midst of His grace. In the midst of His mercy. The people had backed away. The mob was gone. There was a pile of rocks laying upon the ground. There stood Jesus. There lay the woman. Tonight, someone, maybe, just maybe, could get along with Jesus tonight. I don't know. It may not happen for you. I may go home tonight and just drink coffee and read the Bible and say, Lord, I tried. But then again, we may go home and I may say, Sister Lamb, tonight was a victorious Sunday night. There was somebody here that got down in the dirt and realized that they weren't alone. And they looked around and realized that Jesus had taken care of the problem. And the Bible said when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? You know, He didn't have to ask that question. He knew that. He knew the answer to that question before He told him to cast the first stone. But she said, no man, Lord. And the Bible said, and Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This woman didn't need a sermon. She knew she was in trouble. She knew she had problems. She didn't even need a revival. She needed a revolution. She needed a complete and absolute turnaround. She needed God to change the direction of her life. You see, revival is a refreshing. She didn't merely need refreshed. She'd still be the woman caught in adultery. She needed a complete turnaround. And normally I wouldn't have put verse 12 in there because it starts a new subject, but I thought it was good. The Bible said, and Jesus spake and He said again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What are you talking about, Brother Lamb? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost. You gotta walk in Him. You gotta abide in Him, and you gotta trust Him that when you're down, He's down there with you. And sometimes God will get His hands dirty standing across the house. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. I preach for You, Lord. I preach in obedience to You, O God. I work for You tonight, and therefore, I do it joyfully. And sometimes I feel like I'm just sermonizing. I'm just preaching sermons around here. It's what I feel like, Lord. And I don't get discouraged because I work for You. But tonight I'm not sermonizing. Whether no one takes this any more serious than a 1 minute altar call, I'm not sermonizing. I know You laid this upon my heart. And I work for You tonight. I am the extension of Your hand. And I know that You're trying to run Your fingers through dirty ground tonight. Not necessarily sin, but maybe there's doubt. Maybe a lack of faith here tonight. Unbelief. Maybe there's problems. Maybe depression. Maybe oppression here tonight. Maybe the enemy is whispering in some people's ear, trying to get them in the dirt. And now their heads are bowed low. And You're even in the midst tonight. And some's going to walk out of here and they're going to say, well, I didn't feel anything. The reason they're not going to feel anything because they don't see You. And I'm praying tonight, Lord Jesus, that somebody would lift their eyes and see that they are alone with You, Lord. Father, I pray for God's miracle mission that you would send a move of God here. Send fire. Send fire, Lord. And I pray for strength as I preach from this pulpit. That You give me strength to pull the long load that I carry when I come to this pulpit. And Father, I want to see rain fall in this place. And we'll preach and we'll plow and we'll work this vineyard until the revival comes. Or else until You tell us to go a different field. And Father, I felt the unction of the Holy One here tonight. I was on a mission tonight. I wanted to tell somebody that they could have a change tonight, a real change, not one that is gone by the time Sunday comes, by the time this Tuesday night comes, but they can have a move of God in their life tonight that changes them forever. Father, I pray that you run your hands through this congregation and that your mercy be extended and that you change some hearts. Brother Corey, would you come to the piano, please? Amen.